Well, we're in a study of the great women of the faith, of different women that we can learn from, and I think it's a good follow-up to the Providence of God series that we just finished, because you see the providence of God in the different Bible characters. It's always studying Bible characters is always a good thing. We looked at Eve last time, a couple weeks ago, and Eve, there was much to learn from her, as she was the first woman to face the realities of the evidence and the reality of sin. And now we get to Sarah. We're in the early days. We're 2,000 years before Christ, 4,000 years ago. By the way, it is a very interesting time we live in, and that is that it was 2,000 years from creation to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ, and it's 2,000 years to us. Not quite, almost. It will be in just a few years. By the way, the rapture doesn't occur on numbers, okay, so forget that part. But it is interesting that the Lord has followed that pattern throughout Scripture, and I do believe we've got to be living with anticipation of the coming of the Lord at some point. And again, it's a time we do not know, but it is very interesting. When I was in Egypt some years back, I got to see the Step Pyramid. And the Step Pyramid is over 2,000 years old. Abraham saw it. Also in Israel, some of you may have been there with me, and we saw the gate up there at Laish, and Mesopotamian gate up in the north part of Israel, and Abraham would have gone through that. So it's just very interesting. But that's a long time ago. We're talking 4,000 years ago. And excuse me here one second. All right. But now we're going to look at Sarah, and we're going to have a couple of sessions on her. And we're going to look at first steps of faith. And if you'll look with me at Genesis chapter 11, if you'll go to Genesis chapter 11, I will refer to 11 and 12 several times. So if you happen to have a Bible, which you probably have since it's a Bible study, if you would keep that open to that area there, that would be good. Now, without what? It's impossible to please God. Without faith. I mentioned that on Sunday morning on Faith Promise Sunday. But faith is the essential doorway into all the blessings of life. We have to exercise our will to depend upon God according to His Word. And if we depend upon God, then we will obey Him in that regard, because we're depending on the fact that His Word is true. We are saved by faith, nothing bigger than that. But each step of growth that we have is when we believe God's word and take a step of faith in regard to that specific truth. I've quoted here probably 100 times, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And that's not the word logos, speaking of the whole Bible. That is the word rhema, and that's speaking of a specific truth, something specific that we are to obey. Faith is not a feeling. It may have feelings, but it doesn't have a feeling. It is an exercise of a will based upon a specific truth. So if you don't know the Bible, can you have faith? No. And the only way you're going to become a woman of faith is to know more and more scriptures, and not only understand them, but believe them with all of your heart and act on them if they apply to you at that time. And you know, Christian growth is not complicated. There's quite an interesting pathway oftentimes, but it's not complicated. And so those steps of faith are very important. And so in these early days, God was bringing some of His people through the steps of faith. At the time of somewhere around between Abraham and Moses would have been Job. And we have that whole story of his faith being developed. And then we have the faith of each of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob very clearly laid out the steps of faith they took, but Sarah is also involved in this. And at the beginning of the story of Abraham, after the genealogy is given in chapter 11 of Genesis, we find Abraham and Sarah without any children. And by the way, that alone was a massive trial for Sarah. I mean, it's a real hard thing for a woman today that wants a child. But it is back then you weren't worth anything if you didn't have a child in the ancient world. And that's the way it is in a lot of civilizations still around the world. By the way, isn't it tragic? The opposite end is our culture. A survey went out about why ladies that don't want children, what's their reason? And by the way, it's a majority of young ladies, and which shows you the paganism of our culture in the sense of no sense of their who they are. But the majority reason was, I just don't want one. No, just not on my radar. It's not that they're too much trouble or any of that. I'm sure some gave those answers, but the major answer was, I just don't want one. Well, so that shows you how far we have sunken. And we need to be really praying, because our culture isn't changing. When you have a president that's trying to do things right, we may have a little reprieve, but we're not having a great revival. So keep that in mind. But Sarah was in a bad spot there. And then, of all things, we find that Abram, God, utilizing Terah, his father, brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees, which was at the bottom end of the Fertile Crescent, and brought him to the very top, to Haran. Now, Ur of the Chaldees was the prosperous city of that day. As you know, Mesopotamia is the sort of the center of civilization back in those days, obviously because you had the Garden of Eden, and then civilization and Babel, and then, of course, God spread the civilizations around the world, but still the most developed civilization initially was in the Fertile Crescent there in Iraq, present-day Iraq. And so that was a beautiful city on the banks of the Euphrates, and was just, it was a very high level. I've seen artists' renderings of that. It was close to what Babylon eventually would be. It was sort of the model for Babylon. So leaving there was leaving sort of the center of civilization and going out. And for Sarah, we don't know. Here she doesn't have a child, but at least she had friends and she had the comfort of that city. Obviously, the family was fairly wealthy. They go up to Haran because God had worked in the heart there of that family. And it was because God was going to take them into the land of Canaan. Go with me to chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All the people groups of the earth shall be blessed. So we have the first great commission, so to speak, here, in that God told Abram, who would become Abraham, and he tells him to leave Haran and go now down into the land of Canaan. Now, would that be the place that anybody of the line of that was part of Abraham's line from Shem, the Semites, Shem, one of the three sons of Noah, would that be where a Semite would want to end up? Absolutely not. Why would that be? Who was Canaan? Think back. Who was Canaan? Canaan was the son of Ham. And you remember Ham violated his father by not treating him properly when he had gotten drunk there in his tent. And so when the blessings were given to Shem and Japheth, there was a curse not put on Ham, but on Canaan, the son of Ham. And so the Canaanites were cursed and you have all the different ites, Hivites, and all those people that are part of Jebusites and so forth that are part of Canaan when Israel finally went back into the land. But God calls them to go into that land and to take it over. But Abraham just went spiritually. He was, you know, that wasn't going to happen in his lifetime. And so you had, of course, Jacob, Abraham's grandson, eventually went down to Egypt because of Joseph and that tremendous story that we've talked about. And God said, we're going to wait 430 years till you come back and take the land because the iniquity of the Canaanites is not yet full. From what we can tell, the Canaanites, as the cursed people, were so wicked. They weren't as wicked when you see that in the interaction with Abraham and the people at his time. But four plus centuries later, they were so wicked that God in his justice could wipe them off. And so I only give that background because Sarah had to leave Ur of the Chaldees and Sarah had to leave Haran and go down into Canaan. And that was a big step of faith. And so as you go in life, God is going to call you to do things that are not humanly what you would want to do, okay? Our flesh, of course, wants to please self, but even in the normal course of things, we don't like to take risks. We don't want to step into difficult situations. We certainly don't like to go into impossible situations. But God was endeavoring to build not only Abraham's faith, and of course to set up the nation of Israel. Isn't that something? Where is Israel right now? The nation of Israel is in the land of Canaan. Still battling, by the way, the Canaanites. The Palestinians are really not, most of them are not Arabs, they're Arabic. But many of their lines come from the Canaanite tribes that were not, and never were fully conquered. Isn't that interesting? All these years later, 3,400 years later, you have all of these issues still going on. But, by the way, the true Ishmaelites would be Saudi Arabia, Jordan, the Hashemite kingdom, not the Palestinians that are there, but the Hashemite kingdom, a lot of the Gulf states. Those would be your true, the Bedouins. Those are all true Ishmaelites, the true Arab. So these would be more the descendants of the Canaanites. Just an interesting thought. I'm getting into too much history here, but...
are they intermingled? Is that how they, intermarried? Is that how they consider themselves?
Yeah, and of course, I'm oversimplifying it because the Ottoman Empire just sort of mixed everything up. But the Ishmaelites, your true Arabs, they have a real sense of identity. I mean, they don't want to be considered. I mean, why is Jordan saying no? We don't want any more Palestinians because they're not truly of their blood. Right, they just don't even want to fiddle with it. So it is an intermixture, but it does come from the people that lived there during that time. So Sarah's going into this, and God's wanting to develop something really wonderful in Abraham and in her. And before we go on, hold your place there where you're at, but let's go over to Hebrews and let's read what the Bible says about Sarah. We'll refer to this. But I want you to see that we're not just surmising things here about Sarah's developing faith. The Bible actually talks about it here. And let's look at the account here of Sarah. It's not just by faith Abraham, but if you look at verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that we were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So you have Abraham, and then Sarah's included in this growth of faith. So we have the New Testament clearly declaring that Sarah navigated the difficulties in her life and learned to trust the word of God over what she felt, over what she would have naturally wanted to do. She wouldn't naturally want to leave Ur, probably not even Haran, and leave the family, you know, all of that family there, to come down into the cursed Canaanite land. I'm sure Abraham naturally did not want to do it, nor her, but Abraham believed God and she followed him. Now, here's something I want you to note. If you're, for women, many times you are in places in which you are going to be challenged by people that you're following, and you are going to have to follow their faith and endeavor to trust God in the midst of that. This was Abraham's faith to follow God, and Sarah followed her. And so if you want to truly grow, you've got to trust the faith of those who lead you. And by the way, did you know that many women hold men back who are trying to walk by faith? I'll just be blunt with you. I am sure in the last couple of weeks, as we've had a commitment time, that wives may have held their husbands back from taking a step of faith. It just happens. I mean, I know because I counsel. And men will want to step out and rearrange priorities, or maybe give their life to the Lord, to serve the Lord and uproot themselves. You know, that's a challenge for a wife, because that's initially the leadership of God in that man's life. And so it is important to trust the faith of those who lead you, and to allow God to use that. And it takes faith to turn away from the pleasures of the world. She had to turn away from the things that would have met her needs, especially not having a child, which was a real, which was a great challenge to her. And then to turn toward the unknown, the unseen, with a heart of faith. Every time you take a genuine step of faith that in an area that you've never walked by faith previously, you are into an unknown area. But you cannot, now let me just say this, you cannot grow in faith if you don't exercise faith. You don't just get zapped by it. And faith isn't like, oh, I got this great feeling, I'm going to trust God. No, you're going to be, I tell you what, the greatest steps of faith I've taken over the years, I've scared to death. It was a risk. I mean, it didn't make any sense sometimes. I mean, it happens over and over. But every time I do what I know God has called me to do, God always delivers, and my confidence in Him grows. And the next step of faith is easier in some ways, because you can trust God because you've seen Him work. And so realize that you cannot grow without the challenges in life. And I'm not even talking about trials here. I'm talking about the trial of God telling you, you need to take this step of faith. You know, for a lot of people, taking the step of faith in baptism is a big deal. There's going to be a loss with their family, their extended family. They're going to, you know, it's especially around the world, it can mean loss of job, never seeing their family again. That's a big step of faith. And there are many, many other steps of faith. So, but then Sarah, she followed. We don't see any negativity here on her part. God obviously, we have the climax of her faith when she finally came to the place to believe God about the birth of Isaac. That we'll talk about next time. But Sarah had another trial. They had a famine in the land that God called them to go into. You know, it's really amazing how God just knows how to build us. You take a step of faith, God blesses, God delivers. You're right there, and all of a sudden, man, this doesn't seem like it's working, you know, and a famine wasn't exactly in their plan. So where do they have to go? To Egypt of all places, okay? That's why I said he saw the step pyramid when he went down to Egypt. And what did her husband do? He was a bad boy, okay? He wasn't exercising faith. He semi-lied, it was a lie. He said, she is my sister. Now, was there partial truth to that? Yes, Sarah was half-sister to Abraham. But more importantly, she was his wife. And to allow her to be taken into the harem of the Pharaoh was a pretty bad thing. Now, you can't imagine what Sarah must have gone through in that kind of a scenario. And it was very difficult. Now, you know, ladies want to be beautiful, but for Sarah, it wasn't really a good thing. She was remarkably beautiful. I mean, she was so beautiful that somebody who would have access to millions of ladies saw her as above all of that. So it tells you how beautiful, and God made her that way. And what's interesting is she was still beautiful in her 90s. Wouldn't you like that? Okay. So she was supernaturally endowed with that. But that was actually a source of some of the problems that she had to face. And, you know, when a person has a nice personality and or is beautiful or handsome or whatever, that can be a real hindrance to growth in faith. You can have a lot of dependence upon your strengths. And we got to be careful in any area, not how we appear necessarily, but in ways that we, you know, feel pretty good about humanly, we can depend on that over the Lord. And so she had to, here she is sitting at Pharaoh's house. Would she ever see her husband again? What's going to happen to her? What a gross thought. I mean, I don't think anything could be more horrifying for a godly woman. But when things in life happen, and here her husband did not make a faith decision, he made an unbelieving decision. She was the victim of that. She needed to trust the Lord and face forward. She needed to accept her circumstances without complaining. She did. And so if you have circumstances that are out of your control, let me just say, and ladies, sometimes you have that happen to you just because of the way you're in the position in your life. Those circumstances, though God may not have initiated them being negative, they are now God's will for you. If you respond right, he will make it a great opportunity for growth. And so she evidently just trusted the Lord during that time. And did God honor her faith? Yes, he brought a great plague to the powerful Pharaoh who ruled the world at that time. And he realized it was because of Sarah. And so Sarah and Abraham were delivered. I really wonder if God delivered Abraham because of Sarah. In other words, could we don't know. It's not said, but I think she's growing and she's having to trust the Lord. And just, you know, don't live with a victim mentality, ladies. If you do that, you're going to be miserable. You'll be bitter. You won't have the Spirit of God working. Circumstances sometimes in life are not kind. They don't work out quite like you want them to, but just trust God through it and walk with him, and you'll be amazed how God will build your faith. Now, let me ask you, did it happen to her again? It did. Can you believe it? A famine came again, and this time they go just to the Philistines. That's Gaza, by the way, the Gaza Strip. And it's actually, President Trump's correct, it could be a very beautiful area because Ashkelon and Ashdod that are just north of the Gaza Strip are just beautiful areas there. Reminds you of California. She goes down there and exactly the same thing happens, and God delivers her again by clearly shutting the wombs of the wives. Now, if Abimelech knew that the wives' wombs were being shut. Sarah wasn't there just for a day. Okay, she had to be there a couple of months for that to become evident. So just like Joseph in prison, she had to wait. And yet she follows the Lord. And I don't have time. I'm going to have to finish. I'm speaking in chapel today. But we know from 1 Peter chapter 3 that she reverenced her husband and obeyed him, calling him Lord. That's an amazing thing. You know, ladies, let me just say this. If you're married, if your husband goofs up, if your husband makes unbelieving steps like Abraham did, don't disrespect him for the rest of your life. Sarah did what's right. 1 Peter says so, 1 Peter 3. And because of that, she developed into a woman of faith that by the time Isaac was born, she was believing God and walking with God also. Can you imagine when Abraham walked out of that camp with Isaac to go slay him? She could have stopped him. I mean, there's a lot you can read into this story. And so I'm going to just give you the lessons that they lay out here. Pray, just immediately cry out to the Lord, Psalm 34, 17. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then believe, have faith that God's going to take care of you. And then wait patiently upon the Lord. All right, since we're going to be in Sarah, I will review some of this again and pick it up. But you can see how the providence of God works into this quite well. And what a lesson, because do a lot of ladies get stuck in situations like Sarah? Yeah, all the time. That's why the Bible says, husbands, you are to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, knowing she's the weaker vessel. She's not only the weaker vessel because of what she has to go through for child-rearing, she's the weaker vessel because she is the follower. And yet, when women have a right perspective and believe God, they can become much stronger Christians than men if they will truly look to the Lord. So be encouraged. What matters in life is not how well life goes, but how well it goes in here and who you become.